Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shopping is hard.
I can never find anything in my size.
I don't even know my size.
I buy my clothes the same place I buy my groceries.
There's a better way. Make it easy with Stitch Fix. Just share your size, style, budget, and done. Your personal stylist sends pieces picked just for you.
That was easy.
Stitch Fix. Online personal styling for everyone. Free shipping and returns. No subscription required. Get started today at stitchfix.com.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Boomer and Geo,
BT and Sal,
Kevin and Tiki,
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Hey, there we go. Welcome back to another episode of WFAN Daily, and let's just say, what a crappy day for New York sports again, as always, right? We'll start with the London games because, let's be serious, I can't stand going to London. I can't stand London games. It never turns out well. It's just terrible football. And then you throw the New York Jets out there, it makes it worse football. You know, it's really for the suckers. It's for the Europeans. It's like, hey, let's give them something. Let's try to grow the sport. It's not for us. It's not for football fans. So if you want a good game, do not watch the Sunday games in London. It doesn't make a difference. Even when the Giants went to Germany last year, it wasn't a good game. It really wasn't. But we'll take you through the lowlights as the final score, 13-11. Okay? There was one touchdown. The Jets got a safety. That's amazing. They also only got 82 yards of offense, and their passing was minus 10 for the day. All right? I don't even need to take you through this. It's garbage. It's basically three and out, but we'll go through it anyway, okay? Because the fumble by the Denver Broncos early on that allows the Jets recover, and they get the ball in Denver territory. Okay, they get the ball on the 37-yard line, and they can only go, because of obviously penalty involved here too, they can only muster up 3 total yards of offense to kick a field goal. Is embarrassing. You basically went 3 and out. It would have been a punt return if it wasn't for the Broncos fumbling the ball and handing it back to you, okay? Broncos tie it up, 3-3. And then off of an amazing kick return, the Giants, what do they do? The Jets, what do they do? Kick. They go 3 and out. Minus 2-yard rush by Breece Hall. 4-yard rush up the middle. Okay, fine. Fields to Davis for a minus 1 pass. And then Nick Foles kicks a 41-yard field goal. So then the Jets are actually up 6. They've been up twice already in this game. They had great field position twice, and they put up 6 points. Now, listen, the positive is they put up points every time they were on that side of the field that they got it in the beginning of the game. The problem is You can't score a touchdown. You can't get a first down. That's just been a long day. Broncos answer with the touchdown, so 10-6. And then basically nothing. Again, there's no first downs inside for the Jets. They are just – they are terrible. Their offense is mundane. Justin Fields is not what we were hoping for. He's not even close to what we're hoping for. Garrett Wilson is going to have a rough season, though he will have his moments. This was not going to be one of them. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he asked for a trade. I wouldn't be surprised. And to be honest with you, at this point in time, trade everybody. This team needs to be overhauled so bad. So they get the Jets go down by one. They get a field goal later in the third quarter, because the second quarter is nothing. There's just no offense. It's a crappy game for both sides. Jets defense is actually playing halfway decent. Let's be serious. So, I mean, it's also the fact that it's London and it's crappy football. But the Jets give you a 10-9 deficit, okay, one-point deficit. And then miraculously, they get a safety on a holding call. And they have an opportunity. Now they have the lead for the third time. Now, mind you, 3-0, 6-3, now 11-10. I mean, it's like a baseball game. They're hitting like little solo home runs here and there. So be it. They have the lead. And the offense continues to do absolutely nothing. And at no point in time, and we'll just go to the end of the game. I mean, it's 5 minutes left. The Broncos kick a field goal, 13-11, and they call it a day. And at no point in time does Aaron Glenn contemplate going to Tyrod Taylor? At no point in time do they think that it's time to make a move and try to add a little life to this team? This is a winnable game for you. Your offense has been putrid for three quarters. They have one first down or two first downs or whatever the case is. They've done absolutely nothing. Breece Hall is not getting any real good holes. Can't find a hole. Can't rush up the middle. Can't do anything. You know, meanwhile, Bam Knight, former Jet running backs, getting touchdowns in Arizona or for the Cardinals. But the current Jets can't score touchdowns. They can't find a way to create holes. They can't do anything. Whether it's the offensive line, whether it's just poor play calling, whatever the case is, whether it's the fact that your quarterback just can't throw the football, it is just poor offensive procedures left and right. And at some point in time, Aaron Glenn had to have looked at his team and said, you know what? I hold players accountable. I got rid of Gibson after a fumble in the beginning of the season. And then that was it. That was the accountability that he put out there. There was ample amount of times, whether it was Michael Clemens, whether it was, you know, other players, Quincy Williams, I believe it was, who had a late hit out of bounds. There's all the offsides. Like, give me some sort of discipline. Maybe it's not cutting them, but maybe it's benching them for a quarter or a game or whatever the case is. But you have to do something. And Justin Fields did absolutely nothing the entire game. And you continued to let him go out there and play crappy football and help your team lose a winnable game? I'm sorry. I know it's only six games as a head coach for you. But I question everything that you're built upon. Everything that you've said now is a lie to me. Because all I heard was Aaron Glenn is going to hold people accountable, but you didn't hold your quarterback accountable. The guy had minus 10 passing yards for the day. That's what it was totaled as. They had a minus 10 passing yards on the day. You don't hold your quarterback accountable? You have a feasible option in Tyrod Taylor. I'm not telling you Tyrod Taylor's going to go win the game, but we've seen Tyrod Taylor enough do yeoman's work, do be able to go in there and fill in for Daniel Jones last year, or a couple of years ago, I should say, fill in for anybody. He's been a quarterback. He's been a vet. He knows how to move the ball. The one thing Tyrod Taylor knows how to do is actually move the football. Can't get into the end zone a lot, but at least he would have put you in a spot where he should have given you an opportunity to kick a field goal and win the game. There was nothing. There was crap from Justin Fields. And You have a total of 82 yards on offense. You were given gifts in the first quarter. You were given a safety. You were basically given points left and right. If you weren't given those first two field goals because of a fumble recovery and a great kick return, and then the safety, you would put up 3 points today. That's what the Jets would have put up, 3 freaking points. It's embarrassing. And you can sit there and say, I can't take this anymore. What are we going to do? Just get me to the offseason. This is shameful. And I questioned it from the get-go of why you were going to bring in Aaron Glenn. You needed to change the entire franchise. You need to change this crappy feel that Aaron Glenn is giving you and the entire Jets organization is giving you. It's not just Aaron Glenn. It's everybody. It's been going on for decades. It's been going on forever. Even when they were winning, it was still the same old Jets. You know what I mean? Like even when it was Rex Jets, it was still the same old Jets. It was always an issue. There was always something going on. It needs to be the same way the Mets need to get rid of that stench. The Jets have to do it. The guy out there that was clear as day that should have done it, it was Bill Belichick. I know he's at UNC. He's at, he's at a college right now, which, by the way, I hope he quits soon. That takes a buyout. And you know what you should do? You should fire Glenn and bring Belichick here and beg for him to come over and take over this franchise and do something positive with his freaking team. Because it's sickening how everybody, you give a new coach an opportunity. And I'm there's nothing wrong with Aaron Glenn giving him an opportunity. But the talk is always bigger than what the game is. At the end of the day, the franchise is still a dumpster fire. We could go back to all, and I think I said the other day, you go back to all the coaches and all the players that have been through this system that when they leave, get better. Like Robert Saleh is an excellent defensive coach. They're excellent. The Jets may have started bad with him defensively, but they got much, much better up until the end. The last year or so was okay, going back and forth. They got worse once they fired Robert Saleh last year, that's for sure. But, he was a good coach that, unfortunately, you forced him into doing things he probably didn't want to do. And maybe the same thing for Joe Douglas. Forced him into things that he didn't want to do. But that's people above him saying, hey, we're smarter than you. Whether it's ownership or who is ever in that system, you're making the wrong moves. You are doing it wrong. Give it to somebody who has shown they know how to build a franchise, that they can create a winning organization. Bill Belichick, I know that you don't want to get burnt again by him. He burnt you once. But, dude, what a story would it be if you went out and got Bill Belichick and said, you know what? Leave UNC. Get your ass over here. Fix this organization. Do whatever you want to do. We'll give you 5 years. Go out and do it. The problem is, within 5 years of Aaron Glenn having control of this team, he's going to make it into more of a dumpster fire, and they got to fire him again anyway, and they're going to have to bring somebody else in to clean up his mess. It's the same cycle. It's the same crap. So make it that you can bring somebody in who actually knows what success smells like, tastes like. Aaron Glenn, great defensive coach with the Lions. Aaron Glenn was not the reason why that team was successful. It was because of Dan Campbell. All right? So it's not, and this is not a knock on Aaron Glenn saying, I can't believe what a terrible human being this person is. He's not a head coach. He's just not. And I know it's just 6 games, but at 6 games, it has gone from bad to worse. You're sitting there watching a quarterback play the worst football I've ever seen in my entire life. Kurt Warner scratching his head saying, what type of offense is this? What type of 2-minute drill is this? What are we doing? And yet somehow, no thought of, let's bring somebody else in to maybe change the feel of this game. You talk about feel. Aaron Glenn doesn't have it. Now, listen, there's going to be a lot of terrible football going on this season with the Jets. I never thought it wasn't going to be the case. Congratulations for, covering the plus 6.5 or plus 7, whatever you had, but they covered. So I guess you could pop the champagne on that, that they did something productive. But they suck. They just downright suck. And it's time to start to trade off pieces. Like, that's what you got to do. If you have any asset whatsoever that you think you can get a piece for, or a draft pick for, go do it. If you have, you know, high payroll that you can get off of this team right now, go trade it. I mean, Sauce Gardner, go trade his ass, bro. He is doing jack shit. There's nothing he's doing. He can go and play his average quarterback football for any other team. He doesn't need to do that for the Jets. You're going to go 0-17 most likely this year. You don't need to have Sauce Gardner on this team. And let's be serious. I don't think he's going to be a game breaker next year either. He's not going to be here for the turnaround. You paid him for no reason. You paid him so that he could buy into your system, but it backfired because he's not good. So what are we doing? Garrett Wilson, I love Garrett Wilson. I think he's a talented player. I would love to see him rep the green and white for the rest of his career. But you want to know something? I've heard people talk about Aaron Judge, people wasting Aaron Judge's time with the pinstripes, and they're never going to win with you know, what's going on there with Cashman and Boone, right? Okay, well, you're wasting Judge's time. You're wasting Garrett Wilson. The kid has been amazing every year, 3 years in a row, over 1,000 yards. Now you got Justin Fields. I mean, the kid may get 700 yards the way that Garrett Wilson, the way that Justin Fields throw the ball. It's awful. It's terrible. I would almost trade him. Like, hey, by the way, you know who needs help? Who needs a wide receiver right now? The Giants. I bet they'd pay premium dollar for Garrett Wilson to be on that team. I'm not joking. You think that that's stupid? There's nothing exciting about this Jets team. And the best thing that they could do is just trade everybody of note and go and just try to work it out in the draft. And you know what you got to do? Get rid of Muji, get rid of Glenn, and bring in somebody who actually can draft people, that can actually pick a team, that actually knows what they're doing, and give them an opportunity to make a real run here. No, this is not an experiment anymore. The Jets have experimented for years. We know those experiments failed. It's time to move forward and be the big boys that you are and bring in somebody. Yo, you know what? I know it might hurt for you to bend over and say, you know, we were wrong. You're right. You're better than us. But that's what you kind of have to do at this point in time. You are not the smartest person in the room. Whoever's in the up above of the Jets organization that's been making all these decisions the past decade or so, you are not the smartest person in the room. You don't know how to handle a franchise. You don't know how to handle superstars. You don't know how to handle success at all. There is no success. There is no success. It's time to move on. That being said, I'm going to move on from the Jets because we'll be back next week with another loss. And we don't need to talk about this one anymore because they did absolutely nothing. They did absolutely nothing. So I'm going to do absolutely nothing.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
You go to MSG, which is their second game, Madison Square Garden. The Rangers play their second game, home game of the season. They are 2-2 this season, okay? On the two road games they've played, they beat Buffalo 4-0, which was, you know, bunch was, I think, the last goal of the game was an empty netter. The second last goal, I think, was a good goal, not an empty netter. But either way, they scored 4 goals that game. Good. And Shesterkin got a shutout that game. So that was good. 4-0 in that game. Okay, so on the road, 4 goals, 0 against. They went to Pittsburgh. They won 6-1. So now 10 goals, and they gave up 1. So Shesterkin, in 3 games, has given up a total of 2 goals off of, I think, 85 shots or something like that. 2 goals in 3 games for Igor Shesterkin with a 2-1 record. You go, 2-1 record? Only giving up 2 goals? How is that possible? Because at home, they are 0-2. and they have yet to score a freaking goal. Make that make sense. They're at home. They're playing the Capitals. They played the Penguins, the home opener, and they have scored zero goals. Jonathan Quick gave up a goal today. Igor Shesterkin in the home opener, the game opener, season opener, he gave up a goal. So that was two goals that they gave up at home. And then they gave up two empty net goals on the home opener or the season opener, and no empty netter today. So they've given up a total of four goals at home, two of which are empty netters. So really two goals. They've lost 2-0 to the Capitals and the Penguins, basically. They've lost by a goal because they have no offense at home. And I don't understand why. It took, basically almost four full periods to – it was 70-plus minutes before they scored their first goal of the game season when Lafreniere put the puck in the back of the net in Buffalo. But it was a slow start to get the scoring going. And it continues to be that way at home. And I'm not sure if it's because of, home ice jitters or whatever it is. I saw Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo there. Maybe they were getting a little, shaky with those guys there. I don't know. Jonathan Quick played a good enough game. Defense obviously played a good enough game. But the shots weren't there. The shots are not on net. They're waste of shots. Obviously, their power play. Did they even have a power play today? I don't even know if they had a power play today. If they did, it definitely didn't feel like it. They have been very bipolar to start the season. I hate to use that word, but that's the truth. They have been very up and down. At home, they are completely down. On the road, they are just a completely different team, and I don't understand why. It makes zero sense whatsoever. Let's see. What were the power plays? The Rangers were 0 for 2 on the power play. So, and I think they were 0 for 1 on the home opener. So I think they're 0-3 at home. Not good. Not good. They had a total. And here's the other thing, too, is they had 35 shots, but they just weren't good. They weren't good. They weren't well set up. And I know that Washington is, they have some solid, I don't even know what to call them, because they've had some up and down seasons recently. Lindgren last year had only played 38 games. Bad year for him. He got the start tonight. I think this was the first start of the season, actually. They're not the best. Ovechkin's turning like 400, I think it is. He's getting super old. They don't really have the talent that's mixed in here. Not that I see that's like outrageous. They're a good, solid team, but they're nothing too crazy. And again, neither the Penguins. The Penguins are supposed to be a bottom-end team. And the Rangers can't score. So whatever the case is, that's something to keep an eye on, the fact that they're so good. In the four games they played, they are 2-2, two wins, two losses. The two games on the road, they are a completely different team, much better, offensively more sound. At home, they are a big, fat zero. So that's just something to watch and just to get off my chest. And, oh, by the way, I don't know if you saw this. The game is now over. It's official. The Mariners beat the Blue Jays 3-1 in the first game of the ALCS. Bryce Miller with the win. He gave up one run, six innings, only three strikeouts. Okay. Their bullpen was very good. Gausman pitched a really good game, 5 2/3, two earned runs. But their bullpen helped give up those runs. Brendan Little was on the mound when he gave up those runs. I know that he was he there for the first run? I know he's definitely there for the second run. That's for sure. Let me say, double check that. Yeah, Kyle Raleigh was there, and then Little came in to bring up Gausman. Then he walked. Rodriguez had just walked. He gets the second base on a wild pitch, and then Polanco singles him in. But remember, this is a bullpen that pitched nine innings against the Yankees on that final day of the ALDS, and they could muster two runs against them. But here, Toronto's bullpen wasn't all that good. Like I said, Little gave up the tying run, or the game-winning run, I should say, to Seattle. And then Dominguez gave up a run later on, too, to give a little comfort room to make it 3-1. And they only had to go like three and a third. Meanwhile, the Yankees could barely scrape around two runs in nine innings. So that bullpen was very hittable. And the Yankees, they fell flat. Now, is that saying maybe the Mariners are a better team? I don't know. Because I look at that Mariners offense, and I know they have some threats, but they don't all hit that way right now. I mean, Raleigh's the only one. He hit a home run today. Okay, but Julio Rodriguez batting 200 right now in the playoffs. Arozarena's batting 148. Polanco's batting 231. Naylor's batting 222. Suarez batting 120. Canzone's batting 100. Robles is batting 167. Crawford's batting 217. So you tell me who's hitting the cover off the ball. It's just Cal Raleigh. That's it. But in a big spot, they were able to come through. So, and because the Blue Jays bullpen sucks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Listen, we have more tomorrow. We'll get into a bunch of other stuff. Well, maybe we'll talk about the Monday Night Football game. We'll see. But we have we'll talk some baseball too. Why not? You got the Dodgers and the Brewers. You got the Mariners and the Blue Jays game two tomorrow. And then let's see. Is there anything slated for the? I think there's hockey games tomorrow. I think we got is it an early matchup? Yeah. You got the Islanders. It's Columbus Day. So if you celebrate, enjoy. Islanders are playing at 1 o'clock. Devils are playing at 7 o'clock. We'll talk about it. Why not? Well, let's talk some hockey. What's wrong with that? I love hockey. And guess what? All you NBA nerds, basketball's coming soon too. So get ready. We'll get into that as well. Everything's always going to be here on WFAN Daily. Get ready. Whatever you want to talk about, we will probably talk about it here at some point in time, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, combat sports, you name it, it's going to be here. All right, thanks again for listening and watching to this WFAN Daily episode on YouTube. You can go to the Odyssey app and download it and like it and subscribe. You can go to wherever you get your podcast. It doesn't make a difference. And always follow me at Hoff, WFAN. I appreciate it, and I will see you tomorrow on with BT and Sal, bright and early at 10 a.m. if you're listening tonight. If you're listening tomorrow, I'll see you tonight. All right, guys. You have a beautiful, beautiful.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.